I'm going to take the mouse with me, and I'm going to kind of bend this around so that it hears me. Since this is the one, we have to use this one because I thought that one also recorded, but it doesn't. Oh. If your session's being recorded, it has to be spoken into this one. I didn't know that either. And I think, I'm not sure that we got everything recorded yesterday because of that. He said it picked it up fine even from right here.
Oh, okay.
But I know that we passed that mic down yesterday a lot of times.
Yes.
And so nothing off of that mic got recorded.
You want to go to the end, Gwen, or do you want to be a...
Until it's going to be...
Research and practice. What's that session all about?
Tonight?
Yeah.
That's there'll be some mentors, so-called mentors, David Gray and Don
Waller.
Jim Rimmer or somebody else.
Yeah.
And the student
Gloria too, I think.
Gloria Conca. And then Jan Peterson is the student.
Cool liaison.
Talk to graduate students, prospective students, disability sciences, so give them some ideas.
So it's a more informal discussion.
Yes, yeah, it's not a present. Well, not some of those guys.
if you need to bend that back, are you moderating?
No, I'm not.
You're just the
okay. Good morning, sir. Are you the
moderator? I'm the moderator, yeah.
Great, I'm with the AV company. Just make sure everybody's okay.
She's going to speak from in front of the podium. And this doesn't pick up the recording?
No, unfortunately, that is the one.
And it's sensitive for her.
They said it. I was anywhere in here.
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah.
I mean, I can hear me now talking through it. So.
Hi.
Oh.
All right. I wish there was a way to.
I'm moderating.
And that's fine by me.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Okay. I'm relatively loud. I know that yesterday,
I think I'm third.
When it came to like questions and answers, and I don't know if that matters to have that recorded.
You know, yeah.
It's helpful, but
it does pick up like the ambient sound in the room. I've noticed, like, well, you can't see it now, but
we do have a couple of people who don't talk very loud, so I might encourage them to get, if they're going to answer questions, come towards the mic.
Probably be a good idea, and then repeat the questions.
Okay.
That way, we hear the questions and the answers instead of just. All right. Well, looks like you're okay.
Okay. And do you mind when I do mine from here? Do you mind sitting in the front row and giving me time? Okay.
Hey. I actually work with Dr. Krause.
Okay. Is he here?
No.
Okay.
He did not come. You heard about his leg?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Broke his femur, but seems to be
healing up
very well.
Good.
Taking it very easy, which is good, because he doesn't usually like to do that.
Wise decision on his part this time.
So, yeah, he's able to get up and around a little bit now, but
yeah,
not come into the office.
Yeah. What was he doing?
He was doing a transfer, but he was trying something different.
Okay.
I don't know how they changed it, but and just heard it.
Yeah.
The noise.
Yeah.
For James Krause. Luckily, as soon as he heard the noise, he said, I'm going to go get that checked out, because that did not sound like I've ever heard before.
Yeah. It's amazing how easily they can snap. I mean, it's just, I don't know if he has any osteoporosis or what level, but I know mine just went like that, and I thought, wow, I mean, that's like snapping a twig. So.
Yeah, it was something just everyday type of thing
yeah.
that was just a tiny bit different and turned in the wrong way.
You can't even yell at him for like playing rugby or something.
Yeah, he wasn't doing anything crazy, which wouldn't surprise me with him.
Yeah.
Speakers, so we'll have plenty of time after.
Okay.
And if you finish before the 15 minutes, then we can ask. You know, get one or two questions.
But we can take the full 15.
Oh yeah, sure. Good. Good.
Okay.
And I have the numbers.
10 minutes. 10 minutes.
It shouldn't be a problem.
I'm horrid about it. I'll time mine and it'll be perfect, but then I get off on one tangent.
I was closer to 10 minutes because I thought I might need to have time for questions right
That's,
after it.
Yeah.
But it'll probably go. Yeah. Right in the middle.
I'm planning on going to the 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Keep going.
And they did also say that. With the sign language interpreters, if you do talk fast, to make sure there's at least a pause, particularly depending on what you're presenting on. If you're saying something like logistic regression, something that they have to finger spell every time,
oh, yeah.
that it, some of yesterday's sessions, they could not keep up with the speaker.
That's good to know, because
yeah.
some of the words I'll probably be using are going to be...
So if we use the sign language interpreter, if they're needed, just kind of keep that in the back of your mind. I can only imagine trying to finger spell and present some of these. Yeah. Oh, God.
I can't imagine that.
Holly, are you the moderator
yes.
again? Would you mind making the announcement again about if anyone needs a sign language
yes,
interpreter?
And remind me to remind people.
yeah.
They left yesterday, and I completely forgot about it. So after the first speaker, I said, does anybody need... Well, how are they supposed to understand what I'm saying?
Exactly,
know?
Yeah.
Well, to tell you the truth, we know there are no deaf people coming.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just a little dog and pony show. But
so we do actually know for 5 minutes?
Yes, because there's only one deaf person in attendance at the conference, and we know where he is. And it's not here.
Really?
Yep.
So there's not a chance that someone came in and didn't self-identify?
No, there are actually two more deaf people at the conference, but they're with the
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So how many people
because
were assigned
actually,
to the one?
They're interested in having interpreters, so they
they've already
interpreters.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I mean that makes sense.
Yeah. Because they don't want to show up without.
And
that.
Waste the yeah.
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 Wait for
her. Yeah.
Okay. And also, so obviously, we just need to.
Okay.
I see my lips moving. And you're
Good morning. Welcome to the first session of the Tuesday morning disability section. We have four good speakers and presentations. Before we start, does anybody need assistance with the sign language interpreters? There's also hearing device headsets at the table. Does anybody just want them to stay here and make them sit through this with the rest of us? Thank you. We've got four speakers today, and so we'll have plenty of time for questions after the four are done. But we'll also have time for questions should they stay within the time limits. My name is Holly Hollingsworth. I'll be the referee or timekeeper. Moderator's the official title. Our first speaker tonight or today is Catherine Graham.
I did want to say to everybody, hopefully that's coming through. I'm not sure if we knew this yesterday, but as we continue along in this room, this is the only microphone that's picking up the recording. That one does not. So when it comes to the question and answer sessions, if we can just continue to pass along to the speakers, if a question gets asked from the audience, it needs to be repeated up here, and then hopefully the person answering can answer it in this one so it does get in the recording. So I'm going to let you know about teaching of some medical students that we're doing at the University of South Carolina School of Medicine. And the whole purpose behind what we did was to see if the medical students' knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs would actually change from the beginning of their second year of medical school until the end of their third year family medicine rotation. And just a little intro, I know when this isn't done on day one, everybody already knows this, once again, preaching to the choir. People with disabilities are one of the six disparity groups. And typically in the medical model, it's what's wrong with the person because of the disability. They don't see that as just a demographic group. With standardized patients, that's one of the things in the medical education, you might have people with disabilities telling their personal stories. In panel discussions, kind of a role play event, you might be going on home visits to a family with kids with disabilities or other family members with disabilities. And then the OSCEs, which are objective structured clinical exams. And people have those, the students have those at the end of each rotation in their third year of medical school. So the intervention that we had, this is a very condensed version, but in their M2, so in their second year, we distribute a pre-questionnaire, which I'll tell you a little bit more about. Then we give our first lecture, which is on disability and health. Then when they come to us again in their M3 year, their third year, prior to their family medicine rotation, we administer that pre-questionnaire again. Once again, that's the knowledge, attitudes, beliefs. Questionnaire. We give a second lecture, which is disability in primary care, which delves more into specifics that you would deal with during your patient visit. They have their family medicine OSCE, so their exam, and then after their family medicine OSCE exam, we give a post questionnaire, the same thing, knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs. So as far as our sample, we had two cohorts of individuals, so we went through two full years, second year medical school in the third year, and then the same group, you know, another group the following year. So we have 98 second year students in total, 94 third year students that filled out the pre-questionnaire, and then 86 that filled out the post-questionnaire. Obviously, those numbers change a little bit, but that depends on who's in class for the day and how many of those surveys you can get back. We also did, at the end of the family medicine OSCE, send some questions to the students who had an OSCE with someone with a disability to kind of prompt them to answer a few questions, how did you feel about it, and we'll get into that more in a moment. The questionnaire that we had was an adaptation of one out of the Government of Canada on knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs. It encompassed those items, so direct experience with disabilities. It tried to pull that out of it, barriers to person with disabilities, and then how to respect the person with the disability. According to the lectures that we did, we added a couple of questions to that questionnaire that was already there. To strictly see if some of the knowledge items that we were teaching, they were getting. On the pre-questionnaire, this was the first two questions. Do you know someone who has a disability? And we wanted to know what their relationship. So is it an immediate family member or extended, or then other, friend, colleague, other, just so that we can determine later on, you know, what level of intimate knowledge does that change your knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs? The majority of the other questions are the same for pre and post. So as far as attitudes, when you encounter someone you don't know well who has an obvious disability, how do you feel? Do you feel awkward? And then the often, sometimes, rarely, never was just on a Likert scale. So we had, do you feel awkward, afraid, or sorry for them? We did have a couple of questions in the very, very beginning, such as admiration for, and we just realized in the first couple of iterations before we started on this study that we're not so sure admiration is a good thing or a bad thing, and so we went through several trials before we started this to make the attitude questions applicable. What's the primary intent of the ADA? And that was just your basic knowledge question. What conditions are people with mental retardation at higher risk for? And once again, these are very specific items. This is a sample. This isn't the whole questionnaire. But these are very specific items that we know we cover in the class that we expect for them to learn. So in the M2 lecture during the second year with disability and health, what we really focus on is disability as a demographic group so that they realize that it's not that disability equals poor health. It's just the same equivalent of you need to know if I'm male or female. You need to know if I have a disability. And then recognizing that the disability may be the reason for the primary reason for the visit. I have, a pressure spot on my tailbone, okay, that strictly has to do with the fact that I have a spinal cord injury. Or, more importantly, is the disability a secondary condition? So frequently people are going in to primary care visits and their disability really doesn't have anything to do with it, whether it's an earache or something else. And so we really wanted to make sure they understood that you've got to look past that sometimes, otherwise you're going to spend your 15-minute doctor's visit on something unnecessary. In the third year lecture, disability and primary care, we do focus on two subgroups, spinal cord injury / mobility impairment. A lot of the things that we talk about are issues that would be applicable if you used a wheelchair for any other reason for mobility, and then mental retardation or a cognitive. So we wanted the students to come away knowing, okay, we've made you understand that this may, their disability may or may not have anything to do with their clinic visit. If it does, here are some things that they are higher risk for, such as if I go to a doctor's visit, you probably do need to check my skin to make sure, ask me about it. Much more likely that I'm going to get a pressure sore than someone who's ambulatory. So we wanted to make sure they came away with that. The same thing for the MR cognitive group. So with these OSCEs, the standardized patients, the actors, they learn a scenario, such as the group are standardized patients who have a spinal cord injury. They learn the scenario for diabetes. So they learn the scenario, and they're going to go in and have this fake visit during the OSCE where the student is supposed to come away with, hey, by the way, you have diabetes, and this is what we're going to do for the follow-up. The adults with mental retardation or a cognitive disability and their caregiver, and that's in quotes because it's not really necessarily their caregiver, it's two actors, the one with a cognitive disability and then someone playing that role, which may or may not have been their actual caregiver. They learned hypertension, so they trained, they practiced, and then those were the scenarios that they did for the OSCE. So our results, prior to the first lecture, 72% of the people knew someone with a disability, and that's the breakdown, so, you know, half and half as far as whether it was a close member or just a friend, colleague, or acquaintance. So when you encounter someone you don't know well who has an obvious disability, and what this is the difference between after their third year family medicine rotation minus before their second year. So you can see they were less awkward, less afraid, and less sorry for them, where awkward and sorry for them definitely improved, which we were hoping for. And whether you're comfortable being around a person who has these various disabilities. Using a wheelchair, that one got a lot better. You'll see up there, has chronic depression, is obese, and has HIV/AIDS, all three of those got better also. We did not teach on that in our class, but obviously they probably saw people during their second and third year that hopefully made them more comfortable. They were more comfortable around someone who has a developmental disability also. This shows you, as far as the knowledge question, the primary intent of the ADA, out of 98 people, 13% got it wrong even prior to our lecture. So what that told us was most people understand that concept by the time they're a second year med student anyway, but it did go down. It went from 13% to 8.5 afterwards, so we're trying to catch those last few stragglers that didn't quite get it. Conditions that people are with MR are at higher risk for, that was a dramatic drop from 63% to 33%. It was a really big eye-opener that obesity is more prevalent in those with Down syndrome, but not necessarily those with all MR. But society's picture of people with MR naturally translates to Down syndrome. And then we wanted to make sure that they know when assisting someone up onto exam table, we stress that people need to get on the exam table for their visits, but how do you do it? We don't want someone rushing someone and just grabbing them and throwing them up like a sack of potatoes. That one is proving a little bit harder to get them to understand to ask the person. Don't just assume you know how to pick the person up. So the numbers got better. It went from 44% answering wrong to 31% answering wrong, but that's still not as good as we would prefer, so we're still tweaking. What descriptive term is appropriate? We have patient is confined to a wheelchair, wheelchair user, wheelchair bound, or the crippled patient in the wheelchair. That one went from 51% wrong to zero. That showed us, and we have the numbers for who answered what wrong, but wheelchair bound and confined, that's the lingo that's standard in the medical profession, and I was thrilled to see that that went to zero. Not a characteristic of adults with MR. We're very much trying to stress that they don't learn at a slower rate. You can't just talk slower, or they're going to learn slower or talk louder. So that dropped from 70% to 28% wrong, so that was a big improvement. Some of the questions that we asked the students after they had their OSCEs: did you feel that your clerkship, your exposure to patients with disabilities in family medicine, was beneficial to learning how to provide that care? Most of them were very helpful, said it was helpful, the lectures were helpful. They are still saying disabled patients instead of people with disabilities, so it's just one of those, okay, we've still got some room left to go. And do you feel like the lecture on patients with disabilities helped? I bring this one up because one of the people said, I saw a few patients in wheelchairs at my rural clerkship, and the policy of the practice was to examine the patients in their chairs and not to move them on the examining table. That was the policy. You can't get an exam in while you're sitting in your chair. You can for an earache. If you're going in for a yearly exam, you need to, you know, have a full checkout. They can't feel your stomach if you're crunched up in a chair. And then did you have to conduct your interview any different? One answer was, it seems, this was for the group with spinal cord injury, it seems that some questions, impotent sensory motor questions with regards to diabetes, may be a little taboo with a patient with a spinal cord injury, and you don't want to risk insulting them. Guess what? There are the doctors that we're trying to make them understand. It's not taboo. There's nothing taboo. You have to do it. I will tell you that one of the other people did answer, I didn't feel like I needed to add anything else to the interview, as wheelchair-bound patients need the same care. So that was one of those. They obviously got the lingo right during the visit, but it didn't sink in long term. So where do we go from here? We're going to be training more standardized patients, those with spinal cord injury and cognitive disabilities, replicating the same thing in internal medicine, which we have started this year with our spinal cord injury group. And we're also adding a third lecture on other specific topics related to what have the students been asking us, what have they asked for more about, what are the questions always about when we're teaching our other two lectures. Acknowledgements and no relationships to disclose. I doubt very highly that it was a written policy anywhere.